news, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Hey, y'all, it is 8:07 at FM Talk 106.5. Kind of moving things around. We'll have Captain Bobby in that conversation with Sean here later on this half hour, or later on sometime this hour for sure. We've also got Alec Naiman. What's good about? Yeah. We usually have him on Thursday morning, so we decided to reach out to Alec and see if he wanted to talk to us, and it turns out he does.
Yes.
What's going on, Alec?
Man, that's because I feel sorry for y'all. The only reason I want to talk to y'all.
We're a little marooned here. Nobody we finally have a good conversation, and I mess up the board, and it goes away. So we got to talk to somebody. But you want to throw some on the grill for us?
Well, man, you know I'm talking about it. We got to do something. We got football this week. Mm. Got a little rain in the air. You know, we're gonna get rid of that rain. You know, I got ways to do that stuff. But you know, listen, I'm thinking about, man, we got a spatchcock of chicken. You know what I mean?
No, I don't.
People don't know. You don't know what a spatchcock is?
No, sir.
I have no idea. What? Okay. What's spatchcocking, Alec?
It's all right. It's all right. Well, you know, go to the store and get your whole chicken. Okay.
All right.
Whole chicken got two legs, two wings. Two breasts, you know, like, but it ain't got but one back, okay? so you get your scissors out. You know, you should have, you know, if you got one of those Cutco things, you got a pair of scissors
in
there, all right?
Crafting scissors won't work for this.
Yeah, there you go. Now just take those scissors and cut the back out of the chicken, okay? And it'll flop open, okay?
Mm.
And you still leave the breastbone, of course, attached. So it's like, you know, the whole chicken just flapped open with no back in it.
Gotcha.
And the reason for that is it lays flat on your grill, it cooks evenly and all that kind of stuff. And it's hard to chew through that backbone anyhow, you know what I mean? But then I get me out some olive oil and some lime juice and some minced garlic, a little pinch of cumin, you know, some chili powder, a little salt and pepper, and I chop me up a whole bunch of cilantro.
Mm.
And I throw that chicken in one of them big old gigantic Ziploc bags, you know, and I let it marinate. When I get it good and marinated, you know, today, tomorrow, whatever, however long I do it for, I go fire up my grill and I get it hot. And then I turn the fire, I want that fire down a little low because I don't want to burn my chicken up, you know. And then I just lay that chicken down. I do bone side first. I lay the open part of the chicken. I let the skin be up initially, okay. And I just let it slow cook. Now, if you got too high of a fire, move the chicken over where there's not needed fire, you know, because you don't want to burn. You want to slow cook that chicken. And I call that my chili lime grilled spatchcock chicken.
Man.
That's all it is, too.
That sounds delicious and perfect for a New Year's weekend like this, Alec. And I imagine, is this your busiest time of year at Naiman's Catering?
Well, it has been, you know, Christmas time and stuff like that. And so, you know, we're coming off the busy time for a little bit here. But, you know, we already planning for next year. You know, I'm a positive kind of guy. I'm always in front of the game. I like to get out there and make things happen. So, being Mardi Gras kind of thin and skinny this year, we doing some private little some of the people gonna get together and have a little Mardi Gras festivities at their house.
Mm-hmm.
We're not gonna let Mardi Gras die, I guarantee you.
So no
we got
way.
Little Mardi Gras packages, and we can have little 30, 40, 50 people parties, whatever. It don't matter to me. Yeah, I'll come to your house just to feed you, okay?
Yeah.
By yourself.
You'll be throwing spatchcock chickens at people.
Yeah, we're talking chocolate-covered strawberry stuff for Valentine's. So, anyhow, we're ahead of the game. We're moving forward.
Yeah.
How about that?
So how do people get in touch with you if they want you to come out and cater one of these private parties or whatever they might have in mind?
Man, I don't want nobody calling me. anyhow, it's okay. Yeah, go ahead and call me. 473-3900. That's 473-3900. Our website's naimandcatering.com. Give us a like on Facebook because we like that kind of stuff. And all that kind of good stuff. You know, and Happy New Year, guys.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, God bless y'all. God bless your families. And God bless America. All that kind of good stuff. Just God bless everything.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for all you do, Alec. You're a great friend of the station, and we
absolutely.
really appreciate talking with you every Friday morning, or in this case, Thursday morning. And now I got to bring up something here. Those South Alabama Jaguars, things are looking good in the athletic department. Got a really good basketball team that's going to continue some play this weekend. A new football coach in town, Kane Womack. What do you have to say about how South Alabama's looking now? I know you got a phrase you like to throw out there.
Well, you know, I got to go down and talk to the new coach, okay? He got to know that I am the person that speaks for him. All I have to say is, go Jags.
Here you go, man.
There it is.
Deliver him some double yolk eggs or something like that, a little gift, a little housewarming. He'll be happy to see you. Thanks, Alec.
All right, guys. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Thank you. Alec Naiman from Naiman's Catering.
Yeah, telling us what's cooking and as we continue to switch things up here. So, yeah, I want to, you know, Alec, we talk to him every week. Very, very entertaining guy. Makes some outstanding food. But what people don't know is how great of a person Alec Naiman is.
He's a lot of fun. You know, like I could talk about this. I met him 25 years ago. He was catering an event I went to. It might have been something at McGill, something like that, some sort of big drawdown or something like that. And they had some delicious food. And I met this guy, and I was like, I want to know who he is.
Yeah.
And he was a ton of fun back then, and he hasn't changed a bit. Lives right next door to the comedian Killer Bees.
Yes.
What are those conversations like over the fence? Can you imagine?
I would love to hear that. Can we get them a podcast, Alec Naiman and Killer Bees? That would be outstanding.
A little cooking, a little comedy.
Yeah, you know, he's a very charitable guy, too. I mean, we experienced a loss very early this year here at the radio station, yeah. And he helped us out then. He makes so many charitable contributions, and I can't imagine having as many friends as Alec does, having to keep up with so many friendships, but well, he's a really good guy.
You know, that's paying off for him, I'm sure, during this pandemic. You know, he's got so many great relationships in town. He's not struggling for business like a lot of small businesses might be, just because he's known so many people and done such good work for so many years.
Yeah, well, you know, even though Alec just told us what's cooking, I know a lot of people come tomorrow will be on diets because for one reason or another, you know, everyone likes to start a diet or a workout program on a Monday. We'll multiply that times a billion, and that's what you get with New Year's Day and yes. New Year's resolutions. I've got a list of the top 10 New Year's resolutions here, and you could probably guess what a lot of them are. So the number one most common New Year's resolution, exercise more.
Sure.
A lot of people are going to be trying to start doing that tomorrow. Now, whether they last into February or March is a different story. But
whether they last to January the 11th.
Yeah, it might be easier this year in Mobile, the way they've, unfortunately, the way they've had to kind of pare down Mardi Gras this year. That's always been my issue, is starting something in January, and then Mardi Gras comes around.
Ruins it all.
And ruins it.
Yeah.
Number two, lose weight. That's also an issue with Mardi Gras.
Kind of tied together a little bit, exercise and lose weight.
Yeah, no doubt. Number three, get organized. Number four, learn a new skill or hobby. Number five, live life to the fullest. That's kind of a little broad there. You know,
I agree.
A number of ways to do that.
Yeah.
Number six, save more money, slash spend less money. Number seven, quit smoking. Fewer people doing that now than ever because I think a lot of people have already quit smoking. You don't. It doesn't look like the 90s or 80s anymore with the smoking going on around. And number eight, spend more time with family and friends. That's certainly on my list. Number nine, travel more. That's not happening for me in 2021. And number 10, read more. So those are the top 10 most common New Year's resolutions.
Coming off, and this is a different year, obviously, what we've experienced this year. It's just, you know, embrace life a little bit more. And right now, we simply can't do it. I mean, you can't go out. You can't do exactly what you want to. I mean, you can if you want to, I suppose. There's people out there. But right now, with the cases on the rise, I'm a little hesitant to do much of anything. I just don't want to get that stuff.
Yeah. My New Year's resolution is to go out more. But looks like I'm going to fail on that one.
Right, right. At some point, we will. And let's talk about, you were talking about this earlier, too, about some projections for a good 2021.
Yeah.
15 after 8, FM Talk 106.5. Fishing Report later on. All righty, it is 8:21 at FM Talk 106.5. Mobile Mornings, Dan Brennan, Dalton Horwig, Big Daddy.
Yeah.
Big Daddy back in the house.
Yeah, we're getting the two together today. My 2-year-old, who's been staying with my parents up in Grove Hill.
Right.
And the now, as of today, 1 week and 1 day old newborn. We got her home Tuesday, so she's spent now 2 nights in the house, and today she will meet her 2-year-old sister who likes to swing golf clubs at people for the first time.
The 2-year-old is aware. Is she 2 yet?
No, she'll be 2 in February.
Okay.
I'm not one of these 20-month, 21-month, just because I can't count. So I round up or round down to the nearest year.
So the nearly 2-year-old has not met the little baby yet.
Nope.
She's aware of the baby.
I think. It's tough to get into her brain.
Into her head.
But at least her grandparents have all taught her to say the baby's name. So there's
which is
that.
Peyton.
It's Peyton. That's right.
And so what do you think the... Well, I mean, she's going to have to adapt.
Yeah, my biggest worry is that she will attack the newborn. That right now, she's in attack phase, attack mode. Plastic golf clubs I got her, those have become weapons.
Well, you had two dogs at one time.
Yes, down to one, little Boston Terrier. And he has like a sixth sense. He knows when she's around because she likes to attack
him. He's going
to
get a club in the head, he's aware.
But newborns, as you know, can't get away.
They don't know.
No.
They don't know.
So I'm worried about that.
Be security aware.
Yeah. Not sure how long it'll be before I get the newborn out fishing with Captain Bobby Abruscato.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
But even at a week and a half old, I know that she'd probably catch something because that's how good of a fishing guide Captain Bobby Abruscato is. And we'll try it again this hour. The fishing report, which is always on Thursday morning with Sean Sullivan and Captain Bobby Abruscato. Let's hit it.
Right, it's time for the FM Talk 106.5 Fishing Report, brought to you by the great folks at McCoy Outdoor Company, just west of 65 on Spring Hill Avenue. If Santa didn't get you the outdoor gear you wanted, Santa didn't get you the hunting gear you wanted, Santa didn't get you maybe the gun accessories, maybe that new gun, you can be Santa for yourself and check them out at McCoy Outdoor Company, just west of 65 on Spring Hill Avenue. And if they didn't, Santa didn't get you the fishing gear you needed, we definitely can fix that. They got the gear that this man uses, Captain Bobby Abruscato from the A-Team, joining us now. Hey, Bobby.
Wandering around in McCoy's, man, that's just like Christmas morning to me every day. You know what I'm saying? I walk around in there and I'm going like, I need that. Oh, here's warm weather gear.
Right.
They got it.
They got that gear. And also on the, terminal tackle side, they've got the stuff that works around here, not something that works, you know, somewhere else in the country. They got the gear that works here.
And they got the people there that can get you pointed in the right direction with it too, so you don't have to guess at it. That's the thing too, is there's such a variety of colors and shapes and that sort of thing, and it really helps out when you have somebody there that can say, "Here, this is what you need to be using if you're going here." You know,
that's the that is the truth right there. Let's talk about where we're going out there because it is it's fixing to be January, Bobby. This is people don't usually talk about fishing except for you and I during January.
That's right. Well, and there's a lot of people out there, believe it or not. You know, if you're not, I guess, the deer hunters are probably in the woods, but there's still plenty of people on the water, because the guys that really trout fish know that this time of year there's plenty of trout to be caught, trout and reds, both, if you're an inshore angler. And the big thing that we that really hurts the inshore saltwater fishery is rain. And we had a huge slug on Christmas Eve. We're getting a huge slug today, so that's going to change some things. But one of the things that interests the heck out of me is how quickly they return right back to, or I don't think they leave. I shouldn't say return, but just how quickly they show up, where they were, which is right now in the river channels, particularly the heads of the rivers, both on east-west side of the bay and down through the sound. That's just where they want to be during the winter. And somehow or another, they figure out a way to kind of ride out that freshwater, influx or deflux or whatever you want to call it, where it's running out. And then just it is literally within a matter of days, they're right back, right where they were. And, again, which is in the main river channels, particularly at the heads of the rivers, So that's the kind of places you want to be probably for the next few weeks or not just a few weeks, probably the next couple months.
Okay. You talk about the heads of the river. So in these dead end rivers, you're just going to go back till you get to the end, or
they'll tell you where the fish will tell you where they want to be. It's going to be somewhere within, again, it's hard to put like a geographical mm-hmm. number on it, but I mean, they're going to kind of tell you where they want to be. And it's, as you're fishing your way either up or down, whichever way you're going on them, you'll start to run into fish, and that's where they're going to want to be. And, that's where you need to stay. And you get up early in the morning like all outdoor people do. We're up early, so you've seen this moon that we've had mm-hmm. the last couple nights. And, dude, I mean, I'm telling you, you get on that moon, even when they're not spawning right now, they still gather up in, smaller schools, not like they do in May or April, but still gather up like they're trying to act like they're spawning. And so what's happening, on the trips that I've had all week long is you'll hit these pockets of fish where you'll go for 5 minutes or a few minutes or so, 10 minutes, maybe not get a bite, and all of a sudden you get in three or four at a time, and you go a little further, and it's the same thing, you know, and that's the process that you go through, and that's all a function of the moon, you know, that the moon cycle that we're on right now, you know. But the big thing is you've just got to, you know, concentrate, find those river channels. You know, when it warms up like it's done the last couple of days, they may spread out just a little bit, but they're not going to be too far from the main river channels no matter where you're fishing.
All right, Bobby, if somebody wants to get a drip booked now, learn some about that river fishing, or even start talking about getting a spring trip booked, how do they do that?
Just go to 18fishing.com. 18fishing.com is our website, and it'll give you all of our trip information and give you the opportunity. There's a Contact Us tab on there that'll get you either via the phone or the email. We can get you trip dates and get you booked up.
All right, Captain Bobby, we appreciate it, and we'll check back with you next year.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me on.
Captain Bobby Averscato in the FM Talk 106.5 Fishing Report, brought to you by McCoy Outdoor Company. All right, back to Dalton and Dan, and I'm going to go fishing.
Good man. That's Sean Sullivan right there on FM Talk 106.5. He deserves a day off. You've had some days. I'm going to point the finger at you.
Man.
You know what a day off is like, don't
seriously,
you?
Seriously, I'm a working man.
Yeah.
Now, admittedly, I'm a working man and a pretty easy job to work in. It's not like I'm out busting my hump every day.
Digging ditches anywhere.
Yeah, I'm not digging ditches. I'm not cutting down trees. But I try to be here and, you know, provide some value. But, yeah, I've missed four of the last 5 weeks, and I don't think I've ever missed more than 1 week here at FM Talk
106.5. Well, we're going to regroup now. You're beyond COVID. You're beyond the birth of your second child, mm-hmm. and now we just move on with a normal life. Hopefully,
yes.
Right? Hey, Bubba is a five-year-old dog. It's become a viral sensation after polishing off his family's Christmas turkey and then collapsing on the floor, unable to move.
Oh, my goodness.
So Bubba, here's what happened with Bubba. Bubba is a female dog, a Chi Aposa.
Who names it?
A female Bubba. I don't know. I don't know. Anyway, Bubba snuck into the kitchen on Christmas Eve, ate the entire turkey, which had been wrapped in foil and left under a dish towel in the corner, according to a newspaper where Bubba's from. A picture of Bubba lying on her side, posted on Twitter by the dog's owner, David Barrett of Scotland, has been shared nearly 20,000 times. No chance has my dog just ate the whole turkey for tomorrow, he wrote before sharing the picture of the culprit. So the dog eats the turkey and suddenly realizes, well, that was kind of a mistake.
Yeah.
Because Bubba, the female Bubba, ends up lying on the floor, unable to move. You don't have to worry about Bubba's okay. Bubba did not suffer any long-term effects of eating an entire turkey breast.
Lots of tryptophan. I guess it affects dogs just like it does humans.
Yeah, you'd fall asleep watching the lions blow a lead, you know? Anyway, I don't know. Bubba's okay. They just shifted her diet a little bit for the couple of days, and then Bubba was A-okay. 830 FM Talk 106.5.
Why, thank you, Kane. 836 FM Talk 106.5. You're listening to Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig. And right now it's time to head to McConnell Automotive, where we talk with Louie Arata. Hey, Louie.
Good morning. How are y'all?
Hey, doing great on this final show of this year. It's been a heck of a year, and a heck of a year at McConnell Automotive. Let us know what are the hours for this holiday and what you got going on the lot.
We got, you know, employee pricing goes through Monday. So, you know, we're going to be here Saturday. We're going to have the game zone and might have a little food around here.
Mm.
You know, like I said, employee pricing. And, I mean, it has helped the used car market great. We've got some great deals on some trades, like I said yesterday. I mean, I have not seen this many diesels on this used car lot. So if you're looking for a diesel, give us a call. We got them, or check those out online at McConnellAutomotive.com. And if you got any questions, call Gene or I at 251-476-4141. And we're going to be here.
All right, and someone may be looking to sell their car, too. You guys still buying up those cars?
That's right. Oh, yeah, we'll buy it. Just give us a call, Gene Wright. Like I said, at the number, 251-476-4141. Give us a bin, and we'll the miles. We'll give you a price right over the telephone.
All right, thank you, Louie, and Happy New Year to you and everyone
happy
at McConnell.
New Year.
That's Louis Arata. You'll find him at McConnell Automotive, Dolphin Street, just east of I-65. And don't forget the website, McConnellAutomotive.com.
You know, we don't say turning up Louis's voice. We say turning up your voice in the 8 o'clock hour.
Yeah.
So feel free to call. 343. I mean, we're glad to talk to Louis.
Of course.
But you can call as well. You can certainly, the text line has been humming along here today. But if you want to give a call, talk about anything in the news, 343-0106. Happy to call. Happy to take your call and talk to you on the air. So breaking news yesterday during Jeff Poor show, the suspense was interrupted by Missouri Republican Senator Josh Hawley. He became the first senator to go along with Mo Brooks' plan. He's going to object to the certification of President-elect Joe Biden's Electoral College victory when Congress meets January 6th to accept the results of the president's election. Several House Republicans have previously signaled their intention to do the same with Hawley's plans to object to the results in the Senate. It'll set off a dramatic scenario requiring a vote in both chambers. He's also an outspoken critic of the tech industry, and he's accused social media companies of election interference on Biden's behalf. So Hawley smack dab in the middle of the news with that one declaration.
Yeah, and Hawley also made some news. Well, he's been making a lot of news lately, but he was one of the Republicans, one of the first Republicans to say that Americans should get the $2,000 stimulus check. You know, not a lot of Republicans lining up on that side.
True.
But he was one of them that did. And as far as the Electoral College certification on January 6th goes, in that statement that Hawley put out, he said, "I cannot vote to certify the Electoral College results on January 6th without raising the fact that some states, particularly Pennsylvania, failed to follow their own state election laws." He said, "I cannot vote to certify without pointing out the unprecedented effort of mega corporations." Keep that in mind when we get to this next story. Mm-hmm. Mega corporations, including Facebook and Twitter, to interfere in this election in support of Joe Biden. At the very least, Congress should investigate allegations of voter fraud and adopt measures to secure the integrity of our elections. But Congress has so far failed to act. So we knew Mo Brooks out of the House was going to bring this to the floor. And then the news that came over the weekend earlier this week was that I think a dozen or just shy of a dozen incoming representatives,
freshman congressman, yeah,
including our very own Jerry Carl, that will be joining Mo Brooks in that effort. So there's going to be quite a few congressmen and women that join Mo Brooks to vote against decertifying the election, or at least raising objections. So they needed at least one senator to join them in order to force a debate on the floor.
They got their guy now,
and now Josh Hawley is that guy. We were wondering if it would be Tommy Tuberville, the incoming freshman senator from right here in Alabama, but I think that decision's become much easier for Tuberville over this last week with all of these incoming congressmen that are going to do this. That was my main theory for why I thought Tuberville would not jump into the fray, because he was an incoming freshman. And you know, you have, like Jeff Poor said yesterday, usually those that are heading up to D.C. for the first time are encouraged to be seen but not heard.
Right.
And it could hurt your standing in the future. But Tuberville, with Hawley doing this now, I wonder how many senators will jump on board with him.
You know, and here's the thing about Tuberville, and I, you know, whether he's going to do it or not, I certainly don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't join Jeff early next week and make some sort of declaration. He's been really good being on Jeff Poor's show.
Yeah.
But he was elected almost in the Trump vein as not part of the political machine.
An outsider.
An outsider, kind of a disruptor. Like you can assume when you put an outsider in, they become a disruptor. That's what they do. That's
right.
Why they're there. That's what Trump has done. That's why he's. That's why he was elected, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So it wouldn't shock me. I know politics. You have to try to weigh things out. But if you're a disruptor, you're less of a tactician in that way, and you're more of somebody who just says, "Here I come through the brick wall, one way or the other." So it's not as vital now that Hawley's done it, but we'll see what Tuberville does and how he makes his first week in the U.S. Senate. You know, if he makes history or not.
And like Jeff said, you know, it's 6 years before Tuberville has to worry about another election.
That's right.
So this will be long, maybe forgotten. I don't know.
Well,
some people remember it.
In the state of Alabama, I think that it would be applauded.
Yeah,
because the people that voted for Tommy Tuberville would be, they certainly would not be against that. And I think in his own district, Mo Brooks has been applauded for what he's doing. So, you know, from a national viewpoint, it may look one way. But in the state of Alabama and to conservatives and Republicans that voted these guys into office, it looks another way. Also, they stubbed their toe a little bit at Walmart.
Yeah.
That was get to that. That's a crazy
story.
So,
you know, we've seen over the social media years here, over the last 5-10 years, some pretty big businesses mess up pretty big time online. And, you know, when you're a big corporation, for the most part, I know we've seen a lot of corporations, you know, kind of stick their neck out here recently, especially. But a business like Walmart, they want to keep both sides of the aisle
Absolutely.
Happy, right? And not even just both sides, but they want everyone to be okay with them. They want everyone to come in and shop in their stores and spend money with Walmart. So
yeah, they sell Snickers and windbreakers to all of America.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. Now, they have gotten into the Second Amendment thing a little bit here and have been known to take guns off the floor mm-hmm. and stuff like that. But for the most part, I believe most Walmart's still selling weapons to Americans that are eligible to receive and buy those weapons. But yesterday, speaking of Josh Hawley, he was tweeting on his Twitter page. He said, millions of voters, this is when he put the statement out there about joining Mo Brooks. He said, millions of voters concerned about election integrity deserve to be heard. I will object on January 6th on their behalf. And there were, as of the time that Walmart responded to this tweet, there were 16,000 replies. But Walmart was one of those replies to Hawley's tweet. And Walmart, the Walmart we all know, mm-hmm. said, go ahead, get your 2-hour debate, hashtag sore loser. That came from the Twitter Walmart official account.
I don't think it should have.
Hawley capitalized on that. He tweeted back. He said, thanks, Walmart, for your insulting condescension. Now that you've insulted 75 million Americans, will you at least apologize for using slave labor? So a pretty drop the mic moment there from Josh Hawley.
I would say so.
Then I don't know if it was one of the Waltons. Is that the Waltons that mm-hmm. ran Walmart? I don't know if one of them jumped on the Twitter. Somebody certainly more high-ranking than the first poster for Walmart jumped on and tweeted back to Hawley and said, the tweet published earlier was mistakenly posted by a member of our social media team. We deleted the post and have no intention of commenting on the subject of certifying the Electoral College. We apologize to Senator Hawley for this error and any confusion about our position. Now, what Walmart did not say in that tweet was that the social media intern that posted that had been fired. But I wonder if they did, and if so, which I would assume that they would, how long did that take before said intern was cleaning out their desk?
A second? and so Walmart's explanation is that the person on the social media team thought they were posting it to their personal page, which is...
I think,
come on.
I think that's likely, but, you know...
But that's stupid.
We've been talking about disruptors, and Hawley being one in the Senate, and Tuberville. Maybe somebody was really... Maybe they were on their way out already, and they said, this is my last move here at Walmart as an intern.
That could be.
But hashtag boycott Walmart showed up immediately.
Easy. Wow. 845, FM Talk 106.5, Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig. Morning from Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig, FM Talk 106.5. It is 8:50, and if you need a team of attorneys, I've got them for you. They're my friends at Boatler, Richardson, Wolf. They're located at Dolphin Street and I-65, and they are a very local firm. They handle things like injuries, maybe other insurance claims. Maybe you're thinking, do I have a case here? Maybe you're hurt on the job, something like that, faulty equipment. That could happen. That does happen. And they help victims in Alabama, Mississippi, and Florida. One goal in mind, and it's pretty simple, and that is full client satisfaction. So if that sounds good to you, if it sounds like, man, I might have something here that I'd like to talk to these guys about, talk to them. That won't cost you anything. That consultation is absolutely free, and they really do kind of, they enjoy the relationship part of it, I guess is what I'm trying to say. So if you want good guys on your side, they can sort it out for you, whether you've got a claim or maybe not, they can figure it out. And you can go online and find out more at brwlawyers.com. You can actually start a conversation with them online by just going online and letting them know that you're there, and they can answer some questions that way. Or you can call or text anytime and let them know what's going on. 251-433-7766. Again, that's Boatler, Richardson, Wolf, Dauphin and I-65, and online at brwlawyers.com. Good guys to have on your side.
You know, there's been a lot of grim predictions from experts about what will happen with the American economy following coronavirus once all of this is at least tampered down or hopefully comes to an end. But there's this one epidemiologist, also a professor at Yale. He's a social epidemiologist, so okay. I don't know exactly what that means. But Dr. Nicholas Christakis, he wrote a new book. I've actually seen this book in the ebook store, and I've thought about checking it out. Apollo's Arrow: The Profound and Enduring Impact of Coronavirus on the Way We Live. And he spoke with The Guardian, and he expects post-pandemic for things to be much different than a lot of the pessimistic people that are looking at this. Well, he said one of the arguments in the book is that what's happening to us may seem to so many people to be alien and unnatural, but plagues are not new to our species. They're just new to us. Now, The Guardian writes, here's the comfort that might be taken in Christakis's observations of disease over millennia. Plagues and pandemics do come to an end. They always end. He said they ended even before we had vaccines to respond to them, and how we react to these germs determines the force with which they hit our society. They talk a little bit about the vaccines, that are on the way and hoping that those work and not with extreme side effects. Christakis said we're the first generation of humans alive who have ever faced this threat that allows them to respond in real time with great medicines. He said it's miraculous, but he says once pandemics end, there's often a period in which people seek out extensive social interaction. Of course, so many people have been cooped up in their homes. And
I'm ready. I've been talking about this since I was given a voice again, put on the air here. I'm ready to bust out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel like I should because of, especially right now, we seem to have an uptick in the cases. But I'm ready to get out and live.
So it's about to be 2021, right? Christakis predicts there will be a second Roaring Twenties. We've all heard about the Roaring Twenties from the 1920s. That was following the 1918 flu pandemic. Now,
that's
never put those two together.
And it followed World War I as well.
Yeah, exactly
so
right.
It was post-war, post-pandemic, and they kicked their shoes off and
let it rip.
Dance for 10 years.
Yeah,
right?
Was that when the Great Gatsby was set, I think, in the Roaring Twenties? So Christakis said, during epidemics, you get increases in religiosity. People become more abstentious. Maybe I shouldn't read this book. These are a lot of big words. He said they save money, they get risk averse, and we're seeing all of that now, just as we have for hundreds of years during epidemics. Many people seem to think it's the actions of our government that are causing the economy to slow. That's false. Might disagree with him a little bit there. He said it's the virus that's causing the economy to slow because economies collapsed even in ancient times when plagues happened, even when there was no government saying close the schools and close the restaurants. So he thinks this Roaring Twenties, his prediction, will not come until society's had time to distribute the vaccine and had time to recover from the socioeconomic devastation that's wrought, which we've seen so many businesses close. He said that might last through 2023, but he feels that 2024 and beyond will be packed sports stadiums, crowded nightclubs, an emerging art scene like we saw back then. So he's expecting there to be Roaring Twenties and for the economy to also roar back. And
I hope it does it before that. I mean, he's talking about the Roaring Twenties beginning in 2024.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking at these businesses. We're looking at empty stadiums. We're looking at artists not being able to perform because nobody can go to their shows. We're looking at all this in real time right now, and it's kind of depressing, right? I would hope that things bounce back quicker than that, that the response to, for instance, the vaccine, and for most of us feeling safe to go out, interact, see each other, maybe by the late spring, maybe by the middle of the summer. I hope that it just roars back so quickly right then, and I have a feeling that it might. I really do. There were so many good things where the economy was so healthy
mm-hmm.
when this happened. everything was, we didn't realize it at the time. But everything was about as good as it can be
yeah.
when the pandemic hit.
let's get back to that. Let's get back to living life, to supporting these businesses. And supporting a business is nothing more than just having a good time. Going out and shopping, going out and eating at restaurants, going out to sporting events, packing the Jags stadium like they had.
I can't wait for that.
Exactly. So it's all these things. 2024...
That's a ways off.
That's a ways off for me.
Still have Independence Day 2021 in my brain. And I heard Chris Christie talking about it before, former governor of Jersey. And he seems to think that the vaccine rollout will happen quickly enough. He thinks that Independence Day, this coming year, there will be packed baseball stadiums. And that will be the weekend where America finally kind of starts to let their hair down and have a little bit of fun after the pandemic. And you know that's coming regardless. Whenever it's safe enough and enough people feel safe enough, because quite a few feel safe enough already anyway. But once that happens, you know there's going to be some partying happening.
Yeah, I think so. And back to the depressing side, I remember just a month or so into the pandemic and riding right around this area, right here near the radio station, near Airport and I-65, and just seeing closed businesses, closed businesses. We're seeing more of them are, you know, viable, doing business, open. I mean, it's not unusual. I went to the mall. It was like jam-packed, you know, for Christmas. So there's, you know, not all is lost. And how quickly can we get back to not just a normal life, but a kind of a re-energized attitude, economy, everything else, where it's not just getting better, but it's kind of robust. I was reading where home sales are through the roof in 2021. Louis was talking about
automotive sales.
McConnell Automotive. Automotive sales in 2020, I should say.
Yeah.
Best month in 10 years in December of 2020 during a pandemic, which tells me that when things get right, they're going to get real right real quick. That's my hope anyway.
Yeah, I'm hoping so too. And, you know, as we close out this 2020, let's hope 2021 is the year and that this thing doesn't drag on. I know that a lot of people have their doubts about this vaccine, but even if you have doubts, can't you at least, you know, hope, right?
Yeah.
Hope that that's the answer.
Yeah.
And hope that some of these politicians that feel a little too power hungry are taken down a peg or two.
I think they have been taken down a peg or two, and I think a lot of us are just a little bit tired of being told what to do, but at the same time, I'm going to play it safe until the all clear is out. It's 8:59. Jeff Poore on the way next on FM Talk 106.5.